All right, so this morning's sermon comes with a bit of a caveat. My intention is not to, preach heresy this whole time. So I do have a lot of thoughts I want to share that have kind of come out of some of my conversations this week, that come out of my wrestling with this passage, which seems like such a simple passage, right? It's the short, four-line passage of Jesus being baptized. There's no preamble or anything. He just shows up, baptize me. John's like, I don't think that's a good idea. You should baptize me. He's like, no, really, baptize me. He's baptized. The heavens open up. The Spirit descends. And God says, this is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. That seems pretty straightforward, right? And I am going to talk about it, and I do want to talk about that. But I had this really interesting conversation this week. And I have this conversation a lot. For those of you that are new or that aren't aware, one of the communities that I'm a part of is the burner community, the folks who, that come out of the tradition of Burning Man out in Nevada. There's a lot of regional events around the area that I will go to. Some of our other parishioners join me for that. And they're really strange places. It's an unusual artistic community of people. And the one thing that is almost universal anytime I go is there are almost no, if any, Christians there other than me when I go. And so I have a lot of conversations with people who are really unhappy with the idea of faith, of organized religion. A lot of people who identify as atheist more often than not, or agnostic. And so I get into a lot of conversations because they usually start with someone making some kind of comment about how anyone that is a Christian or anyone that has that is religious must be kind of dumb. I don't quite understand why anyone would do that. And they don't usually know that I'm an Episcopal priest when I'm sitting there talking. And it doesn't offend me or upset me. I understand why people say that. I understand why people feel that way. And in all reality, what we believe is crazy, right? It just is. But that's neither here nor there, I guess, is my argument. And I spent a long time talking with him. This week, just about what I do believe and the nuance and how I understand my faith, what it is for me to search out that thing that undergirds all of who we are, that connects us to one another, that connects us to the world around us. That is the Spirit of God. At least that is my experience of the Spirit of God. I personally have not had the experience of a dove descending on my head, right? Or an audible voice of God in my ear. But I believe that God speaks to me and guides me and leads me into truth. I believe that God is at work in my life. And I spent a lot of time actually having a conversation on Facebook of all places. I could not believe it ended positively. I was waiting for it to go off the rails at any given moment, but it was really good. And and at the end, he's kind of like, wow, okay, I'm not really sure what to do with you because I haven't really met any other Christian that has ever said anything like that. And that doesn't necessarily surprise me. but I think what is behind that is that as Christians, I think it's often the case that because what we believe is crazy, that we're insecure about it. That there's a level of insecurity about these things that we profess to believe. And in the back of our minds, there's part of it that says, well, we don't really believe that because that would be crazy. And we have this internal conflict. And what ends up happening is either you kind of leave and are like, this is not for me. This isn't something I want to do or be a part of. Or the other side I often see us people go to is we get very legalistic about our faith. We kind of double down on this is the truth and this is the way it has to be. And I think that's where most of our fights in the church have come from. There is some insecurity and anxiety in us about our faith and about who and how we understand God to be. And this person that I've been worshiping with or that's a part of my church has a different view and it's wrong and I can't worship with them anymore. I would encourage us, and part of, I think, the space I preach out of and the way in which I engage the scriptures with you all is one where I hope, and I know this is going to sound crazy depending on what your background is, I hope that we can come to a place where we can hold our theology lightly. Let it have room to breathe. Let's just try to get comfortable with the fact that what we believe today, even though we have the creeds and all this stuff, is way different than what Christians taught and believed 2,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago. We believe something a little different than the people who worship downstairs, right? We believe something a little different than almost all the other churches around us. And over the last 2,000 years, we have found ways to divide so that we're only around people that think like us. I mean, that's not exclusive, right? But I mean, but that's kind of the general, the idea, right? People are kind of coalescing into these smaller groups of churches that have a similar like-mindedness. And I think about the baptism of Jesus, right? I think about the fact that John described, the baptism of John is described as the baptism of repentance. Jesus, the one whom we call sinless, right, and perfect, Son of God, God himself, comes and insists on submitting to a baptism of repentance. I still don't know exactly what to make of that. I'm in John's camp. No, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And sure enough, Jesus does baptize us, right? That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? The reality that in our baptism, in our confirmation, or in our baptism, like the Holy Spirit is upon us, right? Transforms us. And in our confirmation, this is the kind of what we're preparing for, the bishop lays hands on us and confirms the work of the Holy Spirit that is in us, right? So what are we to make of Jesus being baptized? And what I've come up with, right, and this is by no means the right answer, but what I keep coming back to is how important it was for God, how important it was for Jesus to do everything, to take every step possible to identify and come alongside of us. One of the things the church has fought for years and years over is about the divinity of Jesus, right? It's in the creeds, all throughout the creeds. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are in the creeds because we want to make the point that Jesus was divine. He was both fully man and both fully God, right? And I talk to a lot of people that have a really hard time with that idea that, you know, Jesus was just a man, he wasn't God, that silliness. And I've seen so many people get into fights in that over the church and outside of the church. And what I'd like to offer is being divine is not so crazy. Because I think it's something we're all invited into. Jesus was unique, and his uniqueness is less that he's the Son of God and more that he has come to be with us. He is God's Son and representative to be with us. But remember, we are all invited and adopted into the kingdom of God alongside of Jesus, right? Brothers and sisters, siblings with Christ is the promise made to us, the promise of adoption in our scriptures. In our baptism. You know, we don't need to bring Jesus down to us. God in Christ brings us up to God. We don't need to worry about it. You don't need to worry about exactly what you believe or how you believe it. You don't have to worry about right theology, because guess what? You don't get a pop quiz at the gates of heaven. You're not going to get a test that you have to pass to make sure you really get how this whole thing works. Because the people in here, they know what's up. They know how this works. It's a mystery, right? There are so many mysteries in what we believe. The mystery of the resurrection, the mystery of the Eucharist, the mystery of the church. As Westerners, we really don't like mystery that much. We like facts, and we like answers, and we like black and white. But I am sorry, most of life, most of theology, just like most of life, is not black and white. It is in the middle. It is a blend of all kinds of things. And for me, that's the exciting thing. The most exciting part of my walk with Christ was the moment where I was able to kind of loosen up a little bit about how rigid that I was about my theology and how I understood my theology and my belief in God, and actually made room for God to speak to me in the work of the Holy Spirit and do that and fulfill that promise of guiding me. There were so many times I would come into church or, you know, be reading my Bible and just like, oh, I don't need to read that anymore. I know what that means. Right? I've got it all figured out. Here's what it means to be a Christian. This is how you be a good Christian. This is what you do and don't do, and this is it. I had it all distilled out into like the simplest of narratives. And then I could just hand it out in packages to everyone and say, here, just do this and you'll be good. But that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a relationship. It is a walk with God in Christ. It is a like any relationship, it is something that grows, that has its good times and its hard times, its ups and its downs. And that, I think, is what makes it so important and so special. That it is threatened at times, that it is difficult at times. But it's also joyful, it's also overwhelming, it's also incredible at times. I really think being invited into walking with Christ, being invited into the life of a Christian, is an opportunity that is exciting and that is compelling. It's an opportunity to wrestle with the things that we experience in this world. When you experience something or come against someone's thought or opinion that really runs against or afoul of what you believe to be true, I hope you have the opportunity to kind of let that sit with you, to let it make you a little uncomfortable, to not feel and have that knee-jerk reaction that you've got to defend God. No, 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 that's not right. This is right. Has anyone ever had that urge or felt that inside of them? No, 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 no. This is right. God is God and does not need us to defend them. It might feel that way sometimes. But God is a lot less offended by people's accusations than we are about God. I don't think God needs people to ascribe to faith in any particular way. Like, the call of Christ in the scriptures is very simple, right? It's believe and come to me. You know, be received. Be a part of this thing that I'm doing. Come, taste and see. You'll find that it's good. You'll find healing and restoration. You'll find new life. You'll find love and joy and peace and kindness. Come and be a part of that, because I want to share that with you. Because the last thing God wants for any of us is for us to not bask in those things. And we've got to remember that those things exist outside of the church too. But they don't exist, in my opinion, outside of the realm of the spiritual and of God. We're all invited into this. And what I want to do more than anything else, when I have conversations with my friends and these people that I meet who want nothing to do with spirituality or religion or Christianity, is to listen and to be able to offer what I believe and what has transformed me in a way that doesn't have all the language that causes them to react, right? That doesn't have all of the buzzwords and things that they don't understand, right? That we get so comfortable with in the church. And to let them just respond to me as a human being, as a child of God that is there, who cares about them, and is actually interested in them and what they have to say, that doesn't view my role as listening to what they have to say so that I can correct it and give them the right answer, but comes alongside of them. That is what Christ does in his baptism. He comes alongside of us. He says, I don't need to argue with you about who I am or what God is or what's going on in this world. The people that Jesus was the harshest with, the people, the Pharisees who would come and argue with him, right? Anyone that came seeking answers, anyone who came seeking truth or seeking to understand, he was incredibly generous and gentle with. Even the Pharisee, Nicodemus, right, who comes to him under the cover of night, he is gentle with. God is and will be gentle with you, with me, as we approach. No matter what we feel or believe or think, no matter how many doubts we have or how many things in our theology we wrestle with, God is there in the midst of it, and God is with you, and God has come alongside of you. God is not there to condemn you and say, well, that's wrong. Here's the right way to think. Here's the right way to believe. God guides you into the reality of truth, the reality of who God is, which is love, peace, kindness, and forgiveness. In this church, you'll hear me before communion invite anyone that is here to communion. I'm not supposed to do that because the official kind of line of the church is all baptized believers, regardless of age or denomination, are welcome to receive communion. There's a large movement in the church that I'm a part of that wrestles with this. Because for me, baptism is just the confirmation of what God is already doing in your life. When you hear the prayers of the Eucharist, when you hear who we are and what we're about, and what we're doing at this table and what we're offering at this rail, if you feel the call of God and want to be a part of that, you are welcome to come and receive that. And if you haven't been baptized, come talk to me afterward and we'll talk about that. I think baptism is an important thing. It is a part of our life as Christians. And I think it's not unreasonable to have that conversation with someone. If you feel the call of God in the Eucharist and come and respond, I think we should talk about baptism. But I don't think baptism needs to be this limiting factor. That comes out of this idea that we've got to know if you're really a Christian. We've got to know that you've been up here and that you've said the words or that someone has said those words on behalf of you and that someone has put water on your head or dunked you in the water. I believe God is at work in your life, whether you've been baptized or not. I think God is calling to you with a word of love, a word of mercy, and a word of joy. And if you would like to be a part of that, if you would like to pursue that and figure out more and more of what that's about, I invite you to come to this place, to this altar rail, to this table, and receive the things of God. To know that they are for you. No matter where you are, what you believe, what you have done or haven't done, wherever you are, God is for you. God has come alongside of you and loves you. And God will walk with you. And God is not afraid of your questions. God is not afraid if you wander far afield. Because God will continue to be with you. You ever hear that phrase, like coming back to God? As if like God's on the straight and narrow path and we've kind of wandered far away and we kind of got to find our way back? That's not how this works. God is never anywhere but beside us. Supporting us and encouraging us. Walking with us wherever we find ourselves. And God's strength and love will guide us back to where we need to be if we go astray. But remember that story of the Good Samaritan? I'm not the Good Samaritan. Of the prodigal son? Right? Does like the son come back? The son comes back, right? And thinks he's got to do all these confessions and do all this work and renounce his like sonship and all these things, right? He thinks he's got to make up for the way in which he squandered his father's good gifts. And what does the father do when he sees him a long way off before he has any chance to say anything about what he thinks? The father runs out to him in the most undignified way imaginable and grabs him and celebrates the return of his son. Okay? You don't have to worry about God loving you. You do not have to worry about being good enough or enough in this church and in this place or in the kingdom of God, because you are enough and God loves you. And in the work of the Holy Spirit that was begun in Jesus' public ministry in this way, we are invited to be a part of it. And I'm so glad to be a part of it with you. So yeah, wherever you are, whatever you're thinking, whatever your experience of this is, know that this is for you and that God loves you and you are welcome, both here at this place and at this table. Amen.